Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about your cover of your book. What I'm looking at here is giving you some overall guidelines. Now, book covers are really, really important. I would say that in the hierarchy of importance in creating your book to self-publish, probably number one in priority is having your book professionally edited. There's just no replacement for that, folks. You know, an unedited book is not going to do you any good at all. Now, even if you can't afford an editor, you know, try to get somebody you can barter with, or somebody who owes you a favor, or something where you can swap out or trade some service and get that book edited. The number two thing is your book cover, because your book cover is going to represent your book to the world. Everybody's going to see the book cover. Is it interesting? Does it do the job it's supposed to do? Will it stop readers? Can you actually read what it says? All of these things come into play. So let's look at some of the concerns about book covers. Now, there are different kinds of covers we create depending on the kind of book you're producing. For instance, if you produce a hardcover book, it's probably going to have a dust jacket, and that obviously is a separate sheet of paper that's printed and then wrapped around the book. Now, originally, these dust jackets were exactly that. They were intended to keep a book dust-free while it was in the store, and when you took it home, you were supposed to throw it out like a saran wrap or something. But eventually, dust jackets became important in their own right, and now we leave them on the book, and they are very colorful, and obviously it's a form of advertising. The other kind of cover you can do for a hardcover book is a case wrap. And I did talk about that a little bit in Module 3. But they're designed, you have to design them quite differently, because there you're printing either a piece of cloth or a piece of paper that's actually going to be glued down onto the hardcover boards that the book is bound with. So that's a little bit different. And it actually wraps around to the inside and glues on the board. Now, probably most people are going to be doing paperbacks. And there again, we have a whole different kind of cover, because a paperback cover is printed on heavy stock. It's the back cover, the front cover, and the spine all in one piece. It's called a cover wrap sometimes, and it's wrapped around the inside of the book, glued on, and trimmed to size. So depending on the kind of book you're publishing, then you have to have the right cover for that binding. Now, your cover is also going to establish the brand for your book. Now, I want you to think back to Module 5. When we were talking about media kits, we went and looked at a website by author Erica Dreyfuss. And it is a very good-looking website. And one of the reasons it looks the way it does is because she hired a website designer, and she gave him the cover of her book. And she said, here, I want it to look like this. So the website designer use all the same graphics from the cover of the book, the same typefaces, and the same color scheme. So when you go there, the branding of the book and the website are the same. So that's really handy, and it helps to reinforce the message of your book in the mind of a browser or a reader. And the other time you are going to be concerned with branding your books is if you're writing a series of books, because there you want people to know right away that this is another book in that series. So if you're writing a trilogy of books that are paranormal romances, you have to create some kind of element that's the same, recognizably so, from book to book. And there are a lot of ways to do that, either with the illustrations you use or the typography or other branding elements, like putting a stripe on that says something like, you know, the XYZ books or stories from the paranormal or whatever it is that you call the series. So it has a series title, and then it'll have a book title within that series. And that branding is actually pretty important, because the whole idea behind series is that people get hooked into the story, and then they want to get every book as it comes out. And you want them to feel like they are collecting something that is all part of one thing. Now, the other really important thing about book covers is that every genre, category, or niche has certain conventions. That is, there are ways that the books look within that genre, category or niche. And the people who are buyers of that genre have definite expectations about what they think books in their genre are going to look like, because they buy them all. And you have to decide as a publisher, forget being an author for a minute, you have to decide as a publisher whether you're going to go along with those expectations, deliver a book that is going to look similar to other books, hopefully a little bit better, in your genre, or whether you're going to fight against them. I don't really recommend fighting against them, particularly at the beginning, because you're just making your life harder. So let me give you an example of what I mean by that. And what I have here is a bunch of covers taken out of a mailing I got from Goodreads, the reader community, online reader community with millions of members. Now, I have not rearranged these in any way. This is exactly how it came to me. I did just cut out the strips. But I think you can see here, take a look at these historical fiction covers. Do you see something similar about these? Do you think that every historical fiction book here has, except for the Linen Queen, has a figure of a young female in a period costume in front of a landscape of some kind? Okay, so we know that readers of these books, that's what they're looking for, isn't it? That's one of the ways they recognize, hey, that's one of my books. I love that stuff. But look at the children's books, completely different. Here, one thing I noticed right away about these children's books is every one of them has an animal of some kind on the cover, except the Midnight Tunnel, 4 out of 5. There's animals, 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 animals. There's no animals on the historical fiction covers. And let's just look at the romance covers. Now, it's obvious from looking at these romance covers who the buyers are. And there's a lot of what we call beefcake. That is guys showing off their bodies. We've got a lot of flesh. We've got guys who can't afford shirts, so they're going around without a shirt. And you'll see that 4 of these covers have attractive men on them, as many of them showing their body off. They also, you can see, have certain kinds of type that they use. And that's also true for these other covers. This type is much more whimsical. And up here in historical fiction, it's all very classical, centered typography, some script, and some regular. So you can see clearly, I think, from this little demonstration, and these are just 3 categories I kind of grabbed almost at random, that there are very, sometimes almost rigid conventions within genres. And let me tell you, if you want to publish books like this, you have to know what they are. So that's really important. Now, we have a couple of design tips for you. And as I said before, you want to use display fonts on your cover, not text fonts. You want to do the famous postage stamp test, because when people search for books online, all they're going to see is a cover that's about the size of a postage stamp. So when you're designing your cover or looking at a design from a designer, you know, get that file on your screen and start shrinking it down, shrink it down, 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 until it's the size of one of those little covers in the search results. If you can't read it or even tell what it's about, how likely are buyers to stop and click that link? Yeah, not very likely. You have to at least be able to pick up what is the main element. There has to be one major element that dominates the cover, whether it's the picture of the girl in the period costume or the guy without the shirt or the funny-looking donkey. There's one main element on a book cover. It has to kind of give readers some reason to pick up the book. Is there something that stops people? You know, it's a beautiful illustration or a striking photo or a really a cool and clean typographic design. Something that makes it attractive. It attracts people. And one of the ways you can kill your cover is by trying to get too fancy. And this is a very typical amateur problem. You know, they get that title on there in big type, maybe it's nice and readable and everything's great, and then they start thinking, you know, it doesn't look fancy enough, and then they start with the filters and the special effects and the shadows and the crackle and the distress type and oh my God, there's so many different things you can do with that. And my advice is just lay off. You can use one effect maybe, but don't use more than one. You know, and if you go and look at most professional book covers, they don't use that stuff on book covers. It's pretty rare. Now, on nonfiction books, you really want to tell a lot about the book on the cover. And many successful nonfiction books have a lot of copy on the front cover. They might have a bullet list, they might have a couple of blurbs, or they might have two subtitles. In other words, they're trying to give you as much information as possible about what's in the book. Fiction, on the other hand, we want to have the absolute minimum amount of type on the cover. Usually it's just the title and the author's name. Sometimes you can have a tagline or a subtitle or a series title, but you know, really what we're trying to communicate is something about the tone of the story. What can you expect from this book? Is it going to be romantic? Is it going to be an exciting, fast-paced thriller? Is it going to be world travel? Just to give some idea, represent the tone of the book and the author's writing. Now, I have a lot of information here about spine widths, and I am not going to go through all this with you because I think for most people it's just irrelevant. The idea here is that different types of paper have different thicknesses. And because books are made up of hundreds of pieces of paper, even very small variations in the thickness of the paper can amount to a significant amount when you pile up 300 or 400 pages. So when you're creating book covers, it's very important to talk to your printer, and only your specific printer can give you a spine width calculation. If you want to do your own book cover and you're trying to figure out how to lay it out, with the back cover, the front cover, and the spine, you're going to have to get the width of the spine from the printer because that has to be a very exact measurement. For example, when Lightning Source does books, they're going to figure the spine width to 1/1000 of an inch. Yeah, and if your spine is supposed to be, you know, 0.597 inches and it arrives there and it's 0.598, you know, they may reject your book. I know that sounds crazy, but I've had it happen. These measurements have to be exact. So it's not hard to do, but you do have to consult with your printer because only they will know that their combination of paper stocks for the inside and the outside and their binding equipment, they will tell you exactly what the spine is going to be. Now, if you print at Lightning Source, you can actually go to their website and put in your information about your book, and they will generate a template for the book cover with all the measurements worked out. And that's very handy, and you can get a PDF or an InDesign file, and they will just email it to you for nothing. And you don't even have to have an account at Lightning Source to do that. It's right on the outside of their website under the File Creation tab. Now, just to show you how complicated this can get, I happen to have the spine width stock chart from Thompson Shure, which is an offset printer. You can see they offer many, many papers that you can print your books on. You know, usually at a print-on-demand vendor like CreateSpace or Lightning Source, you're going to get a choice of, do you want white paper or do you want cream-colored paper? And that's it. So here you go to an offset printer and you can choose many, many different papers and weights. And then they're going to show you the spine width calculations because each one is a different thickness. So keep that in mind. If you're doing your own cover, make sure you talk to your printer and you get that spine width before you lay out the full color wrap, cover wrap, because you want it to be right to their exact measurements.